You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
The time is 12 minutes past four, and for better or for worse, hello, Jeff.
Hello, Richard the Unicorn. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too.
Playing breakfast in America in the middle afternoon. Well, I suppose it's breakfast in America there. Yeah, it is. Well done.
There you go. You worked it out.
I worked it out quite quickly. Did you see that?
I did. I saw that you put your mind in gear
Straight in there and
nearly stripped it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So how the hell are you?
I'm plenty marvelous. How are you? You're looking very well. I like that color shirt you've got on. You've got a little badge saying, I love Richard at Zone Radio, the Unicorn.
No, this is a Gavin Thompson badge.
Oh.
Do you know who Gavin Thompson is?
No.
He's a cartoonist, a very good cartoonist.
Oh, very good.
Yes, it's his badge.
Well, why are you wearing it?
Because he's my friend.
What has he got then?
Eh?
His badge.
He's a nice chap.
Well, he must give it back to him.
No, he's a nice chap.
All right, well, that's good then. Then wear his badge.
And look on the wall outside when you come. You know,
okay.
There.
You interviewed him the other day, didn't you?
Yes, Judy did.
Judy did.
He did the impossible, that man. Absolutely impossible.
Wow.
He showed me. It made me draw a cartoon.
Really?
Yeah. It looked remarkably like you. Anyway.
Well, that is funny.
Yeah, it is. Okay, yeah. So what are we talking about? You got like a long title. It takes 3 days to get through the title of this thing.
It's a hell of a thing. It takes a lifetime to get through all the stuff that we're going to talk about today. So we're talking about relationships today, and I thought of another little spin on it, and I wish we would have learned the stuff when we were 18. Not wait until all the life stuff happens and divorce and all the life goes on. Can we not know this stuff before? So if you are 18, this is your lucky day because now you're going to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
And if you're 30, it's your lucky day possibly as well. For you guys that are over 60, well, tough luck. You're probably going to say, I wish I knew that stuff before.
Yes.
So, obviously life happens and your chemistry happens and all the theory behind relationships and what you should be doing goes out the window when you meet somebody really nice. But I wanted to start off with 10 life skills that you should have known, okay, or you should have before you get into a relationship. And this doesn't mean at 18, it doesn't mean at 60, it doesn't mean just this is how you organize yourself before you commit to a relationship. Okay, so this is what you should have in place. So if you've got a divorce and you're out of it now 2 years or a year or 4 months or a month or whatever, this is what you need to put into place. Okay, so you got to love your alone time. You've got to love your alone time. Okay, so in the beginning of a relationship, couples start doing everything together, but you must get time to spend and do things that you like on your own at your time. It's very, very important. Number two, got to keep from getting jealous out of your relationship. So try keep jealousy from ruining it. So try and keep it away. You know, if your girlfriend's getting attention, you know, it's fine. It's good. It's no problem or whatever it is. Just don't let jealousy get in its way. Manage your finances properly. When you're going into a relationship or are in a relationship, please make sure that your finances are sorted out and that you're not under stress there, because that's a major stress in your life. You've got to manage your stress well. You've got to be able to do a yoga class or go for a walk or just know how to – not you, Richard. You wouldn't do well in a yoga class, I don't think. A walk, maybe. I don't know. But too often we take our stresses out on our partners, and we shouldn't be doing that as well. Okay, so easier said than done, but there it is. And sometimes a partner is there to absorb stresses and absorb your little bit of anxiety, and that's fine. But if it's ongoing, it can affect the relationship quite badly. You'll master your time management. Don't be late for your partner. Have balance, you know. Lists are helpful as well, you know. Just do that. And then pursue your passions. Don't let somebody stop you from pursuing your passions. You know, if you're somebody who likes to go shooting, then go shooting. Or play golf, let the guy play golf, you know. Or go to gym, let the person play gym. Okay, you can't do that because that's an affair. You can't play with Jim.
Yeah.
No. Pursue your passions and make them a priority, because that's what you love doing. And so if somebody's going to stop you doing that, it's going to affect the relationship as well. Become self-aware of how you are, how you're feeling, and who you are. Be unapologetic to yourself. I think that's quite important. You know, love being those awful conspiracy theory documentaries. Well, own it. You know, you've avoided the craft beer trend and you're happy with a 5 rand beer, order it. You know, don't worry about it. Check your baggage, you know, seeing that you take into a relationship Louis Vuitton, not a bag of nails. So the baggage, we all got baggage. Mm. We all come in with stuff. It's fine, but make sure it's handled. It's okay, and you're not getting wiped out by it. And then also improve your communication skills. Make sure that your communication skills are open, that you're not hurt, that you're not trampled or like beaten up from a previous relationship. That your communication skills are at a good level, so you can communicate, because that's the one thing that will make a difference between a good relationship and a bad one, and that's communication.
So these are the 10 things that you should have. These ducks should be in a row before you go. So you should seriously sit down and take stock of where you are on these kind of issues before you go into a relationship.
Correct. And many people don't do that.
Whether you're heading for one or think you're heading for one.
Or just got into one. You know, make sure that this is in place. And if it's not, you know, just put the brakes on a bit. Get involved and look after yourself. Because you can't be good for someone if you're not good for yourself.
Mm.
You know, that's quite important. Okay. So, interesting. Before having a difficult, when we talk about communication, before having a difficult or uncomfortable conversation, which is always comes up in a relationship, write down the points you want to make and what you want to say. And this helps organize your thoughts as well, and make sure that you're able to communicate what you need to. So write it down, you know, and once again, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So if you're calm and you're in a good space and you can talk about things, it's great. But when you're all upset and anxious and or depressed or wiped out from a previous relationship, you can't really communicate. And is it that person that you're going to's fault that your last three relationships were not great and you didn't sort yourself out? No. Sort yourself out and then get that done. And I promise you, you'll have a wonderful relationship, or at least a chance of getting sorted.
Can we flip this around just for a second? If you're somebody heading for a relationship with somebody, should you be doing this checklist on them to see whether or not they're in shape?
Well, that would be clever. That'd be clever, because we don't do that normally. Mm. We don't do that. We go straight in and you know, geez, we can talk to this person till 3 a.m. and it's great and everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, the other stuff comes out and people's, you know, we all got stuff and it comes out. And I think it would be a great conversation piece initially to have this kind of conversation. How are you, where you're at? A little bit difficult to ask where your finances are, but, you know, what stresses you and what would you like? When things go wrong, how do you like to handle that? Do you like to back off for a while? Do you like to climb in straight away and get it sorted out? How do you feel? Those are all very important questions as well. So, yes, absolutely, it would be great if people would do this, but we don't generally
do that. We don't.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to look at was the 25 different types of relationships that we're in.
Oh, just a few.
Yeah, there are 25.
Just a handful.
Just a few.
Just a handful.
Yeah, and we don't realize these things. Okay, so The first one would be the first.
Mm.
You know, it's the one relationship. You're 16 years old. You fall in love and bang, it's absolutely brilliant. The second one would be a rebound relationship.
Mm.
Normally after a breakup or a divorce or that kind of thing, and your self-esteem is shot and you pursue a relationship with someone way too fast. And boys are really good at this. We love doing this. We springbox at this.
Mm.
The girls have got it right, generally. We're saying they kind of leave it for a few months and they don't get involved. Oh, I want to introduce you to this guy. No, I don't want to meet anybody. Say to a guy who's out of a relationship, I want you to meet someone. Yeah, sure, yeah, he's in. Mm. You know, I'll cancel my work appointment to do that. So rebound, be careful of that as well. Controlling relationships, be very careful of those. Those people go often hand in hand with jealous people. controlling
or narcissistic.
Or narcissistic, and they want to monitor your social media, they want to your electronic devices, they want to check your phones, they want to do all those kind of things. And those are controlling, and it's not good. And your partner might even demand proof where you've been at every given moment. And that puts a hell of a strain on the relationship. So be careful of those. It's unhealthy and it's damaging. Clingy relationships as well often stems from insecurity. With couples, you may not feel good enough for your mate, or have dealt with a broken trust in a former relationship, and it's carried over into the next one, and now all of a sudden you're clingy, and the other person can't really understand why, and it can lead to a barrage of text messages to your partner. You can spending time together, Richard, is important, and it right in the beginning.
And that person is then paying for the sins of the previous person.
Well, generally it is shame, and it is a reality. And it's important that we spend time. It builds a bond, but it's also important to spend time apart from each other and have your own activities as well. There's a balance. So that's it. Then is the open relationship, where you've got a non-exclusive relationship, especially sexually. It's open. So you can be with whoever you want to be with and see other people and go out and so on. If it's mutual, okay, good luck to you guys. It's fine. I've never really seen one of those really do well down the line. But if it's one-sided, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Absolutely going to be a mess. Then is a experimental relationship. They start out when you're trying to break the cycle, or you're trying something new. You're trying it to see things from different perspective.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, that kind
Frankenstein
of.
Frankenstein had an experiment.
Yeah, the experiment. Yeah. It was a man against with a man. That's interesting. Okay, and then the toxic relationships. These are like interesting ones. Okay, these are ones that don't last very long.
Mm.
And you're in a relationship, and you should feel special and secure and happy and all of those good things. And anything other than that is going to be bad. So what is a sign of a toxic relationship? It's passive-aggressive behavior from the partner. It's maybe physical or verbal abuse, criticism. Feeling walking on eggshells around the person all the time. And that's where communication comes in as well. You can't really communicate with this kind of person because you back away from a toxic person. What do you do when you've got toxic waste around you? You run, that kind of thing. So it drags you down, and it damages your self-worth as well. So that's not good. Then you've got held by grief relationships. You've got two couples, or somebody's been lost, a family member or something, and you're in that together. Opposite attract is another relationship, and I kind of, I'm not so sure that it works. I think they do attract. Opposites do attract. You've got a narcissist that attracts an empath, and an empath is attracted to a narcissist, to the good side of a narcissist, if there is one. But does it work? Not really, I don't think. In my experience and looking at the research, not really. Then you've got career-orientated relationship, where career is everything. I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, and you come second in my life, and my career is first.
Or you both are professionals.
Absolutely. And then it's okay. Then it can work as well.
Yeah.
But if it's the other side, we've got to be careful. Career-orientated obviously is great, but you've got to balance things. You're in an unhappy relationship. That's another kind of relationship where the couple is unhappy. They're not looking forward to each other. They don't like the relationship, and it could be financial reasons why they stay together. They're not don't like each other, but because they're sharing rent
or children.
They don't like the children?
No, or they have got...
about that story.
They've got children, so they stay together for the children, which sometimes is a very wrong reason to do it.
Well, it happens a lot. It happens a lot. And then when the kids leave, the guys get divorced, and the kids are, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
So absolutely right. You get a long-distance relationship. They're also very difficult. And most people that have been in one will say to you, it doesn't work. But there are... It's another show. There are ways of handling that kind of thing. Insecure relationship as well, where your partner is constantly looking for at your behavior, at your loyalty, at your interest in them, and do you still love me, and you still like me, and all this kind of stuff that comes out. And then you get a sacrificial relationship where you give up something for it, and then I don't know. I'm not sure if that works either, because somebody will get upset if they've had to give up something and they're not allowed to do a sport, or not allowed to do a career, or they're not allowed to do what they want to do. So not so good.
I think one aspect of this is religious. If you've got a certain person that's in a certain faith, and you get involved with them, and you expect them to give up that faith because you may be of a different faith, or you're not of any faith at all. I think that is a topic pretty much on its own, but it is a big factor.
It is a factor, and it's a factor you need to discuss right up front as well. You were talking about what do you discuss up front.
Yeah.
That is one of the things that we need to discuss up front as well. Okay, you're just in it for the sex. That's another relationship where the physical side is amazing, and you're just in it for that. Could be. And then there's a love-hate relationship. You have the balance between I can't stand you, but I love you, but I can't stand what you do. A mature relationship, it's an older one, normally over 40, and there are relatively few non-negotiable, rigid expectations. So normally, as I said, associated with people over 40, their needs have changed maybe.
They've also got established lifestyle.
Established, they want a friend and not necessarily somebody beautiful on their side. Yeah, you have that kind of thing as well. Feels more like a friendship. You can be in a relationship where you're mates, where you're best buddies. Nothing else is happening, but you're best buddies. Trophy relationship, you've heard about that. Yeah. Trophy wife type thing, beautiful blonde or whatever it is, and the older guy.
Yeah, you're never going to be a trophy, Jeff.
Oh, not a trophy wife, definitely not.
You're not going to be a trophy.
No, you don't think?
No.
That's nice.
Don't worry about it. So you don't have to worry about
that. But I could be the one. That is the last one we're looking at. The one. That's the one I've been waiting for you. Not you, but I've been waiting for you for 50, 60 years, 40 years, 20 years, whatever it is. This is the one, and I don't want to go anywhere else ever again. I found you as my soulmate. Okay, so relationships evolve and change over time, and things change. So in order for us to cope with changing needs, it's essential we adapt and learn new skills to conquer the setbacks and challenges and build great relationships with our people as well. So what are the secrets to long-lasting relationships? Okay, and it's communication. There can be no doubt.
It's got to be at the top of most lists.
Top of the list, okay? Mm. Compromise is another one. Compromise, very important.
Coming within reason.
Within reason. Mm. Always within reason. Yeah, sure. Connection is important. So the physical side is important, and a commitment is important as well. So the four C's: communication, compromise, connection, and commitment. There are other additional secrets to a long-lasting relationship as well. Having fun and making good memories together is a great one. Taking on challenges and obstacles together, supporting one another. I'll give you an example now. I left Cape Town at I think it was 3:05 today, and Cape Town is busy and the traffic, and you've got to go around Newlands. Well, Brenda was with me, and of course she was saying, calm down, it's going to be okay, you'll be on time. And, you're working together on stuff. So it was a bit of a challenge, but we worked it together. It was great. The other thing is challenge your partner. Don't be afraid to be the one who loves the most type of thing. Fight respectably as well. Don't be an idiot and call names. Call your partner names and swear at them. It's not cool. Trust your partner. Don't give in to jealousy or insecurity. Consciously make an effort to brighten your partner's day. I know that's difficult for you, Richard, but, I'm Judy. You just play a good song once a day and she'll be absolutely fine. Don't look at me like that. Okay, Judy, I'm saying the truth here. Accept both of you and your partner will change over time, and things will change. And then love isn't just a matter of luck. It requires dedication and a really, really good attitude. And so there are many secrets to long-lasting relationships. And people say love is not enough. I always say love is not enough, but this is why it's not enough. There's so much to it. It's so intricate. Your goal should be to build a strong foundation with your partner for the future. Talk to each other and get going. Now, this is the Gottman Institute. I want to just share before I know we got a little bit less time. The Gottman Institute today. He's a Dr. John Gottman. He's a marriage speaker and author and a psychological researcher. Interesting with this guy. And I feel quite good about this because I've been divorced a couple of times. Mm. And people say, how can you give advice when you've been divorced so many times?
Mm.
And that's why I can give advice. And Dr. John Gottman, he's the guru of relationship advice and divorce advice. He was married three times before he became an authority. And his wife, Dr. Julie Gottman, she was married twice before. So they've got five divorces.
And worth six of experience.
Absolutely. And that's where you get it. You know, that's where you absolutely get it. So he talks about the four horsemen of conflict and communication. And they are criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling. So I want to talk about criticism quickly. You know, you criticize your partner. It's often mixed up with complaints, and there are genuine concerns, of course, but be careful of the criticism. Complaint is, when you forget to call me, let me know you'll be late. I feel overlooked and unimportant. No, that's a complaint, right?
I think when you're talking about criticism, we're talking about not, oh, you put the salt cellar down in the wrong place. We're not talking about that. That can be a criticism. Look, I don't like the old story, like the way you squeeze a toothpaste.
Yeah, that could be a complaint.
Yeah, but the criticism talks to the person's character, the actual makeup of the person.
Correct.
Which is very different.
Yeah, so the criticism in this one, the complaint would be, when you forget to call me, to let me know you'll be late, I feel overlooked and unimportant.
Mm.
Okay. Now, the criticism is that you always forget to call because you don't care and you never have.
Mm.
Okay, so there's the criticism. So be careful of the language that you're using. It chips away as your partner's self-confidence, not like a defensiveness. Comment, did you remember to call and book the reservation for tonight, Richard?
Mm.
That would be a comment, right?
Mm.
Defensiveness. You know, I was swamped at work all day today. Why didn't you just do it earlier instead of asking me? Defensive. Mm. Oh, sorry, love. Rather, sorry, love. I absolutely forgot. My fault. My bad. Mm. Let me do it quickly. Okay. So defensiveness is another one that causes divorces and breakups. Contempt is the worst one. So have you ever witnessed a couple arguing and angry and hostile words that seem unnecessary and cruel? That's contempt. Okay, so research indicates it's among the most accurate and noticeable sign of an impending divorce when there is contempt between the couples. Okay, so stay away from contempt if you can. Stonewalling is another one. Of course, shutting down all communications, holding back your emotional investment into the thing and refusing to engage at all. Now, you've got to be really careful here. When you look at social styles, you look at amiable guys, they will step back and say, look, if that's where you want it, it's fine, and not get involved.
Mm.
The analytical type person will avoid the situation for a while until he's logged
understand it.
And then come back. Mm. Driver comes in and all that kind of stuff. So be careful of that. But those are the four ones that you've got to be really, really careful of. And then his Gossman Seven Principles, sharing love maps. A love map is a desired and a deep comprehension of your partner. So you understand that person very well. You know that person very well. A nurturing and fondness and admiration of your partner as well. And then turning towards each other instead of away is one. Letting your partner influence you. Listen to what they say. They might have some really good ideas. Solving solvable problems. Now, there are two kinds of problems. There's perpetual, ongoing problems, and then, of course, there are solvable ones. So go to the solvable ones, because those are the ones that you can start getting kind of attraction on and in your relationship as well. That's it, really, Richard. There's a few other things that I wanted to talk about, but I know we've run out of time. Just tips for long-lasting stuff. Maintain your identity, just to close off. Create your own goals, you know, share created goals as well. Share them. Do something together. Compromise, important. Understand your communication styles. Understand how you communicate. Learn how to listen. Be a good listener. Listen to somebody. When you're listening to somebody, they feel a little bit more involved in you and they can talk. Check in with people. You know, embrace healthy conflicts. It's not a bad thing to have a conflict because it sorts a lot of stuff out. But, you know, pick your battles. That's important. Perfect forgiveness, you know, in the relationship. it's quite important as well. Respect each other, especially when you're fighting. Respect each other when you're fighting, when you're having an argument. Try something new. Go and do something different. And continue to learn together if you can. And be active. And, you know, they say that if you go to gym, those that gym together, stay together. Those that do things together, stay together. If you have a common interest, you know, it pulls you together. And when your partner's sick, don't go out and go away for the weekend with the boys or with the girls. You know, stay home, look after the partner. Some of them want to be left alone and just go back to the cave. Some would like to be mollycollied and put the wet face cloth on the brow and that kind of stuff. Stick to a date night, very important. Keep the romance alive if you can as well. Be trusting and intimate at the same time. Know your love languages and then be open to change and have a realistic relationship expectations. Don't expect the miracles out of somebody that you know has got certain issues. And a wealthy guy, it's okay. Don't expect to go overseas three times a year, you know, and make that kind of thing. And avoid comparing yourself and comparing your partner to someone else as well. And then finally, take responsibility for your happiness. Don't make somebody give them the responsibility to make you happy. You have to make yourself happy, and that's the key there as well. So communication and talking to each other and just having fun. And that's it, Rich. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Well, we started off by saying, you know, if we knew these things when we were 18, things would have been different. Yeah. And, I, you know, I'm not going to deny that. I just think that even if you know them at 18, life is going to happen.
Yeah,
it's how you deal with it when it happens. And from what we've been through here, it's a lot of hard work.
It's hard work. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And, you know, I want someone who heard someone describe relationships and marriages as a lot of valleys with some really good peaks.
And it's
those peaks and the memory of those peaks when you hit the valley that bring you back to the next peak, in my view.
Sure.
But it's not all plain sailing. It's never going to be plain sailing, and it's always going to be hard work. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes unbearable work, that's when you've got to be looking at it. And I think up front you need to make sure that you understand your makeup and also the makeup of the person that you're going into. And you touched on it, but social styles is a very, very, very important part of that.
Very important.
Because how a person reacts to conflict, how a person reacts to any set of circumstances, you need to understand that. You need to understand that the amiable is going to shut down for a while and back off.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have anything to contribute. They just don't want to contribute now. So if you force them,
yep. You put them into secondary backup, which is attack.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
The same as an expressive person. He's going to explode.
Yep.
They're going to throw the baby out of the bathwater. You're going to need a whole plumbing company to come in after those guys.
Correct.
To fix up.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean to say that they're any different to the person who is an amiable, who's also processing it, just processing it different. And we need to understand these differences in people to make sure that we understand how we deal with them going into the relationship.
Yeah. Now, that course is extremely, extremely important. And I believe they should give every couple, as they turn 18, you get your driver's license and you do a social styles course.
It should be taught at school.
Absolutely.
It should be taught at school. It should be in the curriculum at school.
I agree.
It's vital that. And it's not understanding character, it's understanding behavior.
It's not personality or character. Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah. It's purely behavioral science. That's exactly what it is. By the way, if there are any schools out there who want some kind of training on that kind of
thing,
this is what I've been doing for 40 years.
So
if you want that kind of training, please let me know.
Yeah.
I still struggle with some of the stuff. It's okay. Mm. But if you want that kind of training as a school thing, I'm very happy to do
it. Or a church group or anything
Any group of couples that want to get together maybe or something, we want to do it. Let's do it. Let's have some fun, a couple of glasses of wine, and we'll talk about it.
But it is a very, very valuable thing to do. It gives you an understanding of everything. It will help you in your business, help you in your love life. It will help you in your relationship with your kids. It's just that understanding, and it's not that complicated.
And your business, of course.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can go now.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you again when you're back on Monday. Yeah.
Back on Monday. Lovely.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much
for
this.
Thank you, Unicorn.
And have a great weekend and all that good stuff.
And you too. And thanks, everybody. Cheers. Drive safe.
Cheers, Jeff.